Because I had thought that that God, you know, he's not interested in our ability, but our availability. And what these boys have shown me has encouraged me to keep on serving the kingdom, that even though that I'm not good enough, as long as I'm available and committed, God, like, sees it highly. So I just want to encourage you guys with that word today. Should we play that clip? The slideshow. Let's just look through it and see what happens. Well, while you guys are looking, I'll just try to commentate. I went to Manukau Moor, and I was taking these pictures, and people were looking at me weird, because there was one girl that turned the corner when I was taking this picture, actually. She was like, "What are you taking a picture of?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just finding some billboards, some advertisement stuff." So yeah, that's what I was looking out for. So just look at them. As you can tell, I'm not the best photographer. It's my availability, guys, kicking in. Speed does better. Yeah, bro, if you can flick through them, they'll be way quicker, bro. Just kidding. Yeah, that's better. Yes, getting there. And about now, I found out that it's illegal to take pictures in a store. Some lady told me off, and I just played the I didn't know card, which I did not know. So yeah, I think that's about it. All right, cheers, bro. I guess before I start, I want to start with a story. Is there anyone playing any summer sports this summer? Yes, what are you guys playing? Yell them out.
Netball.
Netball, yes. Very manly of you. Scotty? Cricket, nice. Anyone else? Touch, yep. Well, I was playing touch before I dislocated my shoulder, but I do have a summer sports story. So this was our first game of touch. So they were like, "Wilson, hop on." So I was like, "Yeah," because it's a new team I'm playing for. And so what kind of happened is that I started pushing the ball really well. So I played about three sets of offense and three sets of D. And we're getting really well. Like every possession, we got up to the, close to the try line. And on about the fourth offensive set, on our third touch, what happened was I got touched. So I planted the ball, stepped to the side, got the ball again. And I started drifting at an angle to see what the D would do. And then I kind of saw that the D was over drifting. And kind of what happened was that I was like, "Yeah, I can see that." So I stepped in and then dived for the line and scored the try. And that was the first try of the season. Everyone thought I was the man. I mean, well, I guess I was, you know, fresh try of the season. It was a good moment. But let me tell you something, this was shortly lived. Because for the rest of the game, I was struggling to catch my breath. I was so unfit, you know, I was very embarrassed of my fitness. It was terrible. But anyways, I don't want to talk about it. And I guess today, you know, when I'm talking about this topic of media overload, I guess I might seem like I know what I'm talking about, but I do think that, you know, I'm still unfit, you know. I'm probably not as fit as I should be on this topic. I mean, the truth is, I'm still affected by media, and I'm still journeying with the stuff. So today, what I'm going to be sharing about is where I'm up to with this topic of media overload. So I guess let's just pray, eh, guys? Lord, we just thank you, you know, for who you are. I mean, your love, you know, took our place on the cross and it rescued us from sin. And even though we don't deserve your love, Lord, you look beyond our faults and you give us grace and mercy. So we just want to thank you, Lord. And Lord, today, you know, we live in this world that's driven by media. I guess, you know, teach us to be salt and light in this world. Allow us to bring your kingdom, your love here on this earth. Amen. Before I talk about media overload, I just want to give a bit of a background on this topic. So I want to start with Revelations. And in Revelations, there are two main root evils. The first one is the beast, and the second one is the prostitute of Babylon. Basically, we always hear about the beast, you know. Basically, what the beast does is that it will force you to go to do evil and to go against God. So that's the beast. And the second evil, the prostitute of Babylon, we don't really hear about this because I don't think she's as common as it should be. Pretty much what the whore of Babylon will do, the prostitute will do, is that she will seduce you into going against God. She will seduce you into doing evil. And at the same time, she'll make you feel like, you know, when you're doing evil, there's nothing wrong. And through that, the prostitute will stop you from building God's kingdom. So I want you guys to hold on to that thought, and then I'm going to bring you guys into another thought, and then when we combine them, you guys will get it. So in Australia, there's this prestigious street called Collins Street. It's probably one of the most famous streets in the world. I've had the honor and privilege to be there. And on Collins Street, it has the finest buildings during the Victorian era. I mean, the architecture of the buildings there are phenomenal. People go there just to study them. And not only does it have the finest structures in the world from that Victorian era, Collins Street also holds the most premier retail shops in the world. I mean, they've got the Gucci, the Louis Vuitton, the Chanel, the Ralph Lauren, the Hugo Boss, the Prada. You know, and some of these retail shops, to actually shop there, you actually have to make a booking yourself before you get into the shop. You know, that's how cool it is. And one of these shops, they sell a tie for $500. A tie for $500. Hopefully it comes with a cell phone. And in some other shop, it sells a handbag for $5,000. Maybe it comes with a toaster, I don't know. And so it's a pretty up-class place, that's what I'm trying to say. And the Baptist Tabernacle is actually located in the middle of Collins Street, or near the middle of Collins Street. And on the narrow side of the street, of the church, behind the church, there's a narrow street. And over there, you can buy a shot of heroin for $50. So my question to you guys, what is similar about them? What is different about them? Let's just take a few seconds to think about this. The similar thing about them is that both of these two things, this shopping and this drug, you can overdose or overload in one of them, in both of them actually. The difference is that somehow one of these overloads, one of these overdoses, is actually acceptable to society. You know, the prostitute of Babylon has seduced us into thinking that one form of overload, one form of overdose is all right. And let me tell you something, overdosing or overloading in something, it leads to addiction. And let me tell you that any type of addiction that you're in, it doesn't lead you to a good place. When I was in Melbourne, I got to see both of these addicts, and trust me, it wasn't pretty, eh? And I guess, you know, this is why we have to be careful about media. That overloading in media, it can lead to addiction to media. I mean, in this Western world today, were bombarded by 3,000 images. We saw 30 of them in about 3 minutes, hopefully. And so we see all these images every day. We see them on the TV. We see them on billboards, the internet, the radio, magazines, newspapers. And actually, in what we're wearing today, you know, these are forms of media. And every single, and everywhere you look, and everywhere you see, every form of media, every symbol, there's a media message behind it. You know, we're already overloaded with media. And I'm not here to say that the media is bad by any means. You know, the media is communication. And communication is actually good. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, we have to be aware of what the messages, the media, are communicating to us. I mean, essentially, the media, what it does is that it communicates to us ways that can make our lives happier, more meaningful. Tyler Durden from the movie Fight Club says that we've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'll all be millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars. And somehow, the media says that, you know, this life of the millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars, this is the pinnacle of life. This is the happier, more meaningful life. And all of a sudden, you know, if you do become these figures, these stereotypes, your life will suddenly become better and more fulfilled. And to become these millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars, the media tells us that, you know, being pretty is better than being ugly, that being skinny is better than being fat, that being sexy is better than being modest, that being rich is way better than being poor, that being young, feeling younger, is better than being older. That the bigger things are better than the smaller things. And that the things that are in are better than the things that are out. You know, this is what the media is telling us. That if you do, this is what the media is telling us. That this is what the better life looks like. And essentially, if you do become or reach the stage of being a millionaire, a movie god, or rock stars, essentially, this is what your life will look like. Can you play the clip, bro?
Once again, I find myself with my friends. Dancing the night away, it's like the party never ends.
And actually, this is the most appropriate ad or kind of video I could find for Morning Church. So that is the best I've got, so I have to work with that. But don't worry. Well, this Diet Coke ad, you know, it portrays what life will look like if we do become these millionaires, these movie gods and rock stars. You know, it kind of tells us that once you become that stage, every moment of your life will be picture perfect. That when I open up my can of Diet Coke or drink, bubbles will fly out. And all of a sudden, music starts playing. And the sun is out. And everyone's rollerblading with me. And everyone is in sync. And life is one big party. You know, essentially, this is what the happier, better life looks like. This is what the media communicates to us. And essentially, we see not only these ads, but these images every day. And also, I think this is why we love Facebook. Who's got a Facebook? Put your hand up. Yeah, I'm guilty too, don't worry. Essentially, this is why we love Facebook. Because Facebook, it is a perfect way, it is a perfect place to show that, to show the world that we are living this life. You know, through photos, videos, and status updates. That we are living this life, this pinnacle of life, of being millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars. I mean, the truth is, you know, no one ever puts up an ugly photo on Facebook or a crappy video. That's all true. And we always think twice about what we put as our status updates. We always type it in and then go, nah, that's not right, delete, retype. That's us, you know, because we want to show the world that, you know, we are living this type of life, that we're living this Diet Coke ad. And Tyler Durden, he continues to say that advertising has got us chasing cars, clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy crap we don't need. just so that we can live this glamorous life of a millionaire, movie gods and rock stars. And somehow, you know, we believe that this is achieved by buying all these things, you know. That if we're buying what these people buy, we feel like we fit in and we do live this glamorous lifestyle. And I've got an iPhone. I'm guilty too. But and apparently this iPhone, when I have it, apparently it says that I'm rich. But really, I'm a euphoriker. I make no money. And apparently if I have an iPhone, it shows that I'm fashionable. But really, you know, that's really debatable way, guys. Let's be honest. And apparently if I do have an iPhone, it shows that I'm in this cool club. I'm not cool really, eh? And honestly, when I do hold my iPhone, I do feel richer. I do feel younger. And I do feel cooler, you know. I kind of do feel like my life does feel like that Diet Coke ad. And I guess the question I want to ask is, why do people fall for media overload and chase this life of being this millionaire, movie gods and rock stars? Why do they? Deep down, I think everybody, if we're all honest with ourselves, we know that there's something deeper out there. We know that there is something more in life. You know, we know that there must be a place or purpose for us, you know. We're craving for this. We're hungry. We're thirsty. And we're searching for this. Like I said, media is communication. And the media communicates to the world that, you know, people like us, we're craving, we're hungry, we're thirsty. We're searching for something deeper, something more. We're searching for a place or a purpose. And this is where I believe the whore of Babylon, the prostitute of Babylon, slips in with media. She uses media to tell us that, you know, that being these millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars will make our lives more meaningful and deeper. That the fortune, fame, and power will take away the craving, the thirst, the hunger. And this will satisfy us and fulfill us. And I think this is why we fall for media overload. I mean, if I'm honest, you know, I fought for it too, you know. I find myself, you know, wanting that lifestyle too, you know, of being a millionaire, movie gods and rock star. And let's be realistic, you know, the life of fortune, fame and power does look good, you know. I do want my life to look like that Diet Coke ad, you know. And I do want a rollerblade, which I can't. But the funny thing is, you know, when I look myself in the mirror, I see the opposite of what is actually happening. You know, I see the opposite of this happier, better, meaningful life. Because when I see in the mirror, I'm actually getting older. I'm actually getting uglier. I'm getting poorer. I'm not as muscular as I used to be. And the truth is, you know, this world, it celebrates this lifestyle of fortune and fame and power. When I look in the mirror, I have failed. You know, I'm 21 years old. I'm a youth worker. I don't even know if I have a job next year. I don't have a 5-year plan. I don't have a car to show for it. I haven't even finished my degree. And I haven't even started saving for a house. And you can ask our young people, I've failed because I'm not cool anymore. I have failed this lifestyle of being a millionaire, movie gods, and rock stars. And this is the tension I face, you know. You know, the question is, you know, how do I navigate through this tension with what the media tells me I should be and what the mirror tells me that I am? Well, let me tell you about a very good mate of mine who was also tempted with this lifestyle of fortune, fame, and power. Most of you guys know him. His name is Jesus. Jesus was actually tempted by fortune, fame, and power. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of Man, or the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread." And back then, bread, not only did it was it a food, it also determined the economic value and system in that society. So the more bread you had, the more wealthy you were. And this is where we get the slang word dough from. It means money. So if Jesus turned the stone into bread, he would have had instant fortune. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up with their hands, so you will not strike your foot against a stone." And back then, the temple is where everyone worshipped God daily. It was also a university and a marketplace. So everything and anything happened here. The temple was a social hub. So if Jesus jumped off and got saved by angels, he would have been the talk about around town, and he would have got that instant fame. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All of this I'll give to you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." You know, kingdoms, these determine power. So if Jesus bowed down, he would have instantly been powerful. And I'll be honest, you know, a part of me asked the question, you know, I don't get it. I don't get why Jesus turned away the fortune, fame, and power. I don't really get it. Because it seems good. Life's like that. But until he got betrayed, before he got betrayed, Jesus shows me why he turned it away. John 13, 2-5. It was time for the supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Media tells us to chase the fortune, fame, and power. I realize why Jesus resisted the fortune, fame, and power. Because fortune, fame, and power can only elevate yourself. And right before his death, you know, Jesus shows me that to overcome this fortune, fame, and power, it is actually to elevate others. To elevate the others around you. To elevate others, even the others that we call losers. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I'll tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Even when Jesus was in the process of being crucified, he managed to elevate other people. He managed to elevate this criminal just so he could witness the kingdom of God. And I believe, you know, the whore of Babylon has used media to seduce us. You know, we live in a world already overloaded with media. You know, this has disillusioned us. You know, we've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'll all be millionaires, movie gods, and rock stars. You know, advertising has got us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy crap we don't need, simply so we can elevate ourselves. You know, as followers of Jesus, we are called to hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. We need to always be aware of what the media is telling us so we can be salt and light in this world. You know, to elevate yourself only means to love yourself, to care for yourself only. To me, that's a bit selfish. You know, Jesus calls us disciples to love God and to love people. To elevate others simply means to love people, to care for them, to acknowledge them, to honor them. And Mick, you know, a few weeks ago, he shared something Bill Johnson talked about. Something along the lines of, this world is full of orphans. People are craving for something deeper. And the only thing that will satisfy them is the love of the Father. When we elevate others, we show them love. We show them what the kingdom of God is about. We actually reveal the Father's love, and this love will actually take away their hunger, their thirst, and people will find their place and purpose, and that is to be loved by God. But for this to happen, you know, it starts with us. It starts with us overcoming this media overload. And I'll just share a few things which has helped me out in my journey of this. I guess the first one is I always keep myself in check. I always start thinking twice about the things that I do and also the things I buy. And every time when I'm about to buy something or do something, I have to ask myself, is this going to elevate myself or the others around me? You know, maybe you need to start asking us the same question and start putting yourself in check. And the second thing is that with my possessions, you know, I learn daily not to be precious with them. I always let people use my stuff, whether it be my iPhone, my car, or my parents' home. I always find ways that my possessions, you know, can be used to elevate other people. Maybe you need to find ways with your possessions that can elevate other people. And thirdly and lastly, I've stopped buying magazines, and I've stopped watching television. I've limited the amount of media in my life because simply they do not help me to elevate other people. And they make me feel bad about myself because I'm not living this life. So I've limited it. So maybe you need to start limiting the media influence in your life. And honestly, I know it's hard to break the media influence. You seem weird. You seem strange. It's awkward. I know. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, you know, he didn't feel awkward. He didn't feel weird. He didn't feel strange. He was hanging on the cross so then he can elevate us and love us so then we can know the Father's love. And maybe, you know, to elevate other people, we need to de-evaluate ourselves. And the more we break our attachment to media and learn to elevate the people around us, we discover the heart and mission of God. And we see the need for his kingdom on earth. There is a poem I love to read. It's about how the prostitute of Babylon has seduced us and how we need God's kingdom here today. It's a bit harsh, but I think it will show us that we need God's kingdom here today. It's called If I Were the Devil. If I were the devil, I would gain control of the most powerful nation in the world. I would delude their minds into thinking that they have come from man's effort instead of God's blessing. If I were the devil, I would promote an attitude of loving things and using people instead of the other way around. I would dupe entire states into relying on gambling for their state revenue. If I were the devil, I would convince people that character is not an issue when it comes to leadership. I would make it legal to take the life of unborn babies. If I were the devil, I would make it socially acceptable to take one's own life and invent machines to make it convenient. If I were the devil, I would cheapen humans' life as much as possible so that the life of animals are valued more than human beings. I would take God out of schools where even the mention of his name was grounds for a lawsuit. If I were the devil, I would come up with the drugs that sedate the mind and target the young, and I would get sports heroes to advertise them. If I were the devil, I would get control of the television so that every night I could pollute the minds of every family member for my own agenda. If I were the devil, I would attack the family, the backbone of any nation. I would make divorce acceptable and easy, even fashionable, and if the family crumbles, so does the nation. If I were the devil, I would compel people to express their most deprived fantasies on canvas and movie screens, and I would call it art. If I were the devil, I would convince the people that right and wrong are determined by a few who call themselves authorities and refer to their agencies as politically correct. I would persuade people that the church is irrelevant and out of date, and the Bible is for the naive. If I were the devil, I would dull the minds of Christians and make them believe that prayer is not important and that faithfulness and obedience are optional. And if I were the devil, I guess I would leave things pretty much the way they are now. You know, this is the influence the whore of Babylon, the prostitute of Babylon, has on us. She has already seduced us to only elevate ourselves through media. You know, this is why we need God's kingdom. This is why we need to start elevating others and the people around us. This is why we need God's kingdom here on this earth today. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for coming down here. Thank you for showing us your kingdom by elevating us. Thank you for showing us your love. Lord, we live in this world that's driven by media. We're already overloaded by media. You know, give us the strength and enable us, your spirit, to bring your kingdom here, to show your love here by elevating others, not ourselves. Amen. So yeah, I guess go out and love others, elevate others and the people around you. Cheers.